Thank you. Hello, my name is Nicholas Parsons, and as the minute waltz fades away, once more it is my infinite pleasure to welcome our many listeners, not only in this country, but those who listen to this show throughout the world. But also, it's such a huge pleasure to welcome to the show four outstanding, resourceful, and talented players of the game. It's a pleasure to have back with us once more one of our country's most talented and inventive and creative comedians, Paul Merton. Besides him sits another highly creative and talented and witty writer and performer, Kit Hesketh-Harvey. And on my left, we have another young comedian who's very original and resourceful. That is Ross Noble. And beside him, another delightful stand-up comedian and actor. That is Steve Frost. Would you please welcome all four of them? Beside me sits Claire Bartlett, who will help me keep the score, and she'll blow a whistle when the 60 seconds are up. And this particular edition of Just a Minute is coming from the Picture Playhouse Theatre in that delightful and picturesque town of Beverley in East Yorkshire. And we are part of the Beverley Comedy Festival. I'll explain to our listeners that cheer was because it's the first comedy festival in Beverley, and they're making it a first and memorable occasion. And we have in front of us a very excited, hyped-up Yorkshire audience who are just ready and keen to enjoy the fun as we start the show with Paul Merton. And Paul, the subject I have in front of me is What I Love About Queuing. Tell us something about that subject in this game, starting now.
Well, it's about how you make your hands work. Your left hand must form a bridge. Your right can be bringing the cue forward. It's very important to keep the eye on the object ball, probably the white one if you're playing snooker or billiards. And what you have to do is to make sure your geometric angles are spot on. If there's a red, you want to go into the top pocket, then you knock the spherical object towards the reddish ball. I've said ball twice.
Kit, you Hesketh-Harvey, you
so
judge.
Two balls, I'm afraid.
Yes, I know. You, we don't want too many balls in Just a Minute, but in that is repetition. So, yes. Kit, you have a correct challenge, which means you get a point for that. You take over the subject. There are 30 seconds available, and tell us something about What I Love About Queuing, starting now.
I was waiting in the malodorous back passages of this beautiful cinema here in Beverley, and I looked at the queue of people of Beverley. I said Beverley twice. You can't have enough Beverley.
Well, some people think you can't say Beverley too often, but certainly the people in front of us here. Yes, apparently this is the oldest active cinema in the country.
Is it really?
Yes.
It smells like it, yes.
Paul, you challenge for repetition of Beverley, yes. And you have the subject back again. You have 22 seconds. What I Love About Queuing, starting now.
Well, it's very democratic, isn't it? If the Lord Onslow is queuing up behind a dustman, they...
Steve Frost, you pressed your buzzer. What is your challenge?
I can't remember.
It was deviation.
Why?
Because Lord Onslow would never queue. He'd send a butler to do it.
It is quite possible that Lord Onslow would queue. Yeah. We have no proof that he doesn't queue. Yeah. We don't even know if Lord Onslow exists.
He doesn't exist.
But there's no reason why a lord shouldn't queue behind a dustman.
No,
so,
exactly.
Strictly speaking, he was not deviating from the subject. So, Paul, yeah, an incorrect challenge. Another point to you. 16 seconds available. What I Love About Queuing, starting now.
The British are fantastic at it, and they don't mind whether it be outside a fishmonger's or a cobbler's. There's nothing the more like than they go forward...
Ross challenge.
There's nothing it's more like what we are.
What, deviation from English as we understand
yeah.
it? Or as it is normally spoken. Right, so, Ross, yes, I would agree with that challenge. So you have a point, and you have 7 seconds, and you tell us something about what I love about queuing starting now.
I like queuing because you can stand at the back and pretend you're in a conga line at a very dull party.
Whoever is speaking in this game when the whistle goes gains an extra point, and this occasion it was Ross Noble. So, Ross, you have 2 points at the end of the round, so is Paul Merton. Kit has won, Steve has yet to score, but it's early days, and Steve, your turn to begin. The subject is igloos. Tell us something about igloos in this game, starting now.
The first thing you need, if you want to make a very good igloo, is, of course, some...
Paul, challenge...
What do you mean? I always forget.
Hesitation.
I think you would call that hesitation. A complete dry up, a complete mental block, and...
That's it, block, that's it.
It was an ice block you need, not the mental block. Mm. Paul, a correct challenge. 55 seconds available. Igloos starting now.
The Eskimos build igloos. I don't know if they resemble the objects we see in cartoons. Vaguely, it's like a dome-like effect made out of ice and snow, I suppose. The idea being that in the harsh winter months in Eskimo land, they can hide into this little igloo and feel nice and warm and snug. You build a fire in the middle, and you have a bicycle where you can power...
So, Steve, what was your challenge now?
It was deviation, because if you light a fire in an igloo, it will melt.
Oh, it will. You're quite right, yes.
I didn't say it wouldn't.
I know. That is the difficulty I have.
Curse you, Paul Mac.
You can light a fire, but it would be a rather foolish and dangerous thing to do.
Yes, would be foolish.
If you had him for the bicycle, that would have been all right, because I don't think you would ride a bicycle in an igloo.
That'd be stupid. They all got one.
All right. So, Paul, an incorrect challenge, another point to you, and 34 seconds, igloos, starting now.
Apparently, they have 33 different words for fire extinguisher, which is what you need when you're building a conflagration in the middle of your...
Kit's challenge.
What, a conflagration?
Oh, yeah. I don't know.
I wasn't quite sure.
Deviation from Inuit, as it is spelt,
right. I think it is.
Well, if we're going to pick people up on grammar, what chance have I got?
25 seconds with you, Kit, on igloos starting now.
I once stayed in one of those igloo hotels that Craig Doyle is so frightfully keen on. The Corby trouser press disappeared through the floor. I ended up on an ice floe somewhere 18 miles north-northwest of Reykjavik. I took a hot shower.
Paul challenge.
Well, if you say somewhere 18 miles, that's exactly where you are. You can't say somewhere 18 miles north-northwest of Reykjavik. That's precisely where you are.
Paul, another point to you. 14 seconds, igloos starting now.
Perhaps the finest igloo joke I know, and I'm sure you're prepared for this, are two Eskimos... I said Eskimo before.
No, you did. Ross, you chumped.
This is really petty, but it's igloo, but it's igloos on the card.
Igloos is on the card, and use the word igloo before.
Oh, that's repetition.
Sorry, I haven't said anything for a while, and I thought...
I know, but it shows you are concentrating. So you've got igloos now.
I don't really want it now.
But no, that ooh was a ooh of appreciation.
No, it wasn't. It was a ooh of let's get pitchforks and run them out. That's what that was.
I think it was appreciation. Ross, there are 8 seconds. You tell us something about igloos starting now.
The Eskimo people have 50 words for snow, but not a single one for patio doors. That's because they don't know what a patio's...
The whistle came. You were saved by the whistle. It came in infinitesimally before the challenge from Paul, so you got that extra point for speaking. When the whistle went, Ross, and you're 1 point behind our leader, Paul Merton, and Kit, it's your turn to begin, and the subject, so apt... for this lovely county of Yorkshire pudding. And you have 60 seconds as usual, starting now.
Surely nothing has contributed to human happiness as much as the Yorkshire pudding from this fair county which it so resembles.
Poor challenge.
Alcohol.
Though I would disagree with the challenge, Paul, what I do
you,
on these...
You think Yorkshire pudding's made more people happier than alcohol?
It's made me more happy, and therefore I think there's a lot
of
other
people. Well, let's put it to the audience.
Now, what I will do is, because the audience enjoyed your challenge, which was very amusing and creative, we give you a bonus point for that. But as he wasn't strictly speaking, deviating within the rules of Just a Minute, Kit gets a point for being interrupted. He keeps the subject of Yorkshire pudding. 54 seconds, starting now.
It's craggy edges like Michael Parkinson. It's soggy bottom like Nora Batty's knicker elastic.
Good challenge.
Two likes.
Who's
yeah, two
were,
likes, sorry. Yes.
Oh. Them's are the rules.
I know, they are the rules, but sometimes you can't win your audience with them. Right. Paul, a correct challenge. 49 seconds, Yorkshire pudding, starting now.
If you want to make the perfect Yorkshire pudding, then what you have to do is...
A kit challenge.
To use.
If you have to make it. Hoisted on your own verbal petard.
More of a vowel sound, really.
but it was a correct challenge. He's got his own back, okay. And you have a point, Kit, of course, and you have the subject. And you have 45 seconds. Yorkshire pudding starting now.
Making a well in the flour into which you pour your egg and milk mixture. I, on the contrary, prefer to put the farinaceous substance into the fluid and then put it in a sizzling hot baking tray.
Poor challenge.
Put. Repetition of put.
This is getting very silly.
You were putting too much into this subject, Kit. Paul, you have 33 seconds. You tell us something about Yorkshire pudding starting now.
To make the most perfect Yorkshire pudding, first of all, you must get your milk, and then egg, and stir it deeply until it is ripe and ready to eat.
For the sake of our listeners abroad, I should explain that Paul Merton was then doing an impersonation of Clement Freud, and a very good one as well. He's regularly on our show and is, of course, a great gourmet, and he used to be in the catering business. But, Ross, you challenged.
Yeah, he used to have a kebab van, didn't he?
Do you want fries with that?
Yes.
What was your challenge?
Well, deviation from his own personality. And a repetition of milk.
Yes, he did say the milk more than once, yes. So, Ross, you have the subject of Yorkshire pudding, and 19 seconds starting now.
Yorkshire pudding was the greatest professional wrestler that ever lived. He used to run into the ring, but he preferred a circle.
Steve Frost challenge.
He was so big he never ran into the ring. He used to waddle into the ring with Yorkshire pudding. So deviation?
Within the rule... No, it's not deviation. I mean, even if he waddled on occasions, he still could run into the ring, and that might have been his way of running.
Are we not losing sight of the fact that there was no wrestler ever called?
How dare you, sir?
He certainly wasn't the finest wrestler. Yorkshire pudding. The name is a giveaway, surely.
It might have been his nickname, you never know. Anyway, it was an incorrect challenge, Ross, and you keep the subject, and you have 12 seconds. Yorkshire pudding starting now.
One of the latest things that supermarkets offer is big Yorkshire puddings. Now, I think that this is wrong. In fact, what you should do is get a cabbage and pretend it's a massive Brussels sprout, because that's where you can...
So Ross Noble was speaking with the Whistle Wen, getting an extra point for doing so. He's got quite a few points. He's one behind our leader, who's still Paul Merton, followed by Kit Hesketh-Harvey and then Steve Frost. And Ross, it's your turn to begin. The subject is getting a tan. Would you tell us something about getting a tan? You've just come back from a hot country, haven't you?
I have just come back from Australia, thanks.
Australia, right. So you know all about the heat and the sun and the tans. Tell us something about the subject starting now.
The best way to get a tan in this country is to go to your nearest kebab shop and hug the meat. Simply wrap your arms around it and allow it to rotate next to that lovely hot surface. You might find that you'll need to apply not lotion but mayonnaise into your skin as you gently sizzle for everybody's pleasure and delight. Possibly a large Greek man might get a pita bread and wrap you in it and gently rock you to sleep as you sing him popular folk songs about what it's like to gently... I said gently...
Oh, they enjoyed that flight of fantasy. But you challenged Paul Merton.
Yes, a repetition of gently.
That's right. 26 seconds with you, Paul. Getting a tan starting now.
Well, we're told these days it's actually inadvisable to try and get a tan. And if you do go out in the sun, then you must put on some sun factor 26, which is in fact an anorak. And when you are out in the rays of that shining orb in the sky, you must protect yourself because there are all kinds of nasty diseases that can be caught from those very infrared ray beams coming at you. I think the best way of getting a tan, undoubtedly, is to go to a sun...
So Paul Merton, getting a tan, kept him going to the whistle, gained an extra point for doing so, and he has increased his lead slightly over Ross Noble and marginally, more than marginally over Kit Hesketh-Harvey and considerably over Steve Frost, and that's the order. Steve Frost, your turn to begin, and the subject is how to score. I hope you won't be too intimate on this. I know you're a stand-up comedian. Tell us something about that subject in this game, starting now.
First, raise your eyebrows. Second, catch their eye. Then roll it back to them, because that's not going to be any good to you. Of course, you need the right amount of hair on the top of your forehead where the aforementioned bodily...
Get you, Charlie.
He sort of stopped, didn't he, eventually? No. I mean, it was very magical, and he was wooing them, but...
They were wondering how the hell he could get anybody with that sort of... It was a hesitation. So, Kit, you have the subject. 44 seconds, how to score, starting now.
I think it's the French composer Maurice Ravel who's generally acknowledged to be the master of this particular craft, how to score.
Ross Challenge.
You haven't met my mate, Dave.
Ross, that was
straight in like that every time. You know, the ladies are there, doesn't even buy him a drink.
No challenge within the rules of just a minute. But the audience enjoyed it and they applauded. So I will do what I've done with the others, give you a bonus point because they enjoyed that. Kit gets a point because he was interrupted. He keeps the subject, and there are 38 seconds. How to score, starting now.
You take the flesh or meat or fowl and you slash it with a very sharp knife, and then you pour orange juice or lemon juice, oil or sarsaparilla.
Paul, challenge.
Repetition of juice.
Two juices, sorry.
Paul, you had a correct challenge. You have 29 seconds. How to score, starting now.
I remember when I started playing football for the Little League, which was an associated club system in Morden, a place that is just at the end of the Northern Line in London. And I wasn't very good as a professional footballer, which is just as well because we were amateurs. But I did once score a marvellous goal with my left boot. Unfortunately, I wasn't wearing it at the time. It was around my neck. The ball came off the crossbar, I seem to remember, from Johnny King. Ah, I've been taken back to those glorious days of 1968. The goalkeeper was befuddled. He didn't know what to do.
I love befuddled goalkeepers, yes. Lovely word, befuddled, right. But you kept going to the whistle, gained that extra point, increased your lead, and nobody spotted that you repeated the word football. And Kit, it's your turn to begin, and the subject is Neptune. Tell us something about that god or that whatever way you want to take the subject, starting now.
He was rather a late arrival at the planet's ball, wasn't he? There was an enormous thing called Uranus, Nicholas, and something was pulling in the opposite direction. They worked out there must be some vast body distorting the readings, and they named it after the Roman god Neptune, whose brothers were Zeus, in charge of the Earth, and the Kray twins, who were in charge of the underworld. He was made god of the sea. He carried an enormous great triton, which looked like a crumpet fork. What sort of crumpets? Oh, dab that!
Oh, that's what happens in this game. You were going so magnificently,
was, yes,
and there you
image.
Got carried away with enthusiasm.
Halle Berry,
yes. Various is try. 33 seconds, Paul. Sorry, you came in.
Can I just say, actually, I think he said crumpet and crumpets. Because I challenged on the second crumpet. You said crumpet fork, and then you said crumpet.
It's the igloo principle, again.
Yes,
so
I'm wrong. I'm wrong. He said crumpet.
Oh, good Lord. How very honest and sweet of you, Paul. Thank you.
What a generous guy. The most generous player of the game. I was going to say exactly the same thing, but I...
I could hear because I'm sitting next to him.
I know.
But how cool is that, that it now has the name the Igloo Principle? That's brilliant. It's like a straight-to-video release movie. That's the Igloo Principle.
So, we have established that he didn't repeat anything. So, Kit, you can carry on, which the audience will be pleased about, and everybody, and you as well. And you have 33 seconds. Tell us more about Neptune, starting now.
I imagine that Gustav Holst must have a movement named after Neptune, but I can't for the life of me think how the tune goes. It's not as...
There was a double challenge there. Steve, I think you were factionally earlier, so you have... What is your challenge?
Hesitation, I'm afraid. Mm.
Oh, yes, well, it was a hesitation. Stumble, which we interpret as hesitation. Steve, tell us something about Neptune in 26 seconds available, starting now.
If you look at the planet Neptune through an 8-inch reflector telescope, you will notice that it is blue with a white dot on its northernmost part.
Ross.
It's a bit of a hesitation.
Yes, there was, yes. He was trying to visualise the dot on the thing. And... Ross, you have 18 seconds. Tell us something about Neptune, starting now.
We always hear about King Neptune, but we don't often get to listen about the rest of the... I just wanted to avoid the igloo principle. That's all I was trying to do.
I think you've got jet lag, actually. You've just come back from Australia. But, Paul, what was the challenge?
Well, it was repetition of a bout.
Yeah. Oh, yes, amongst other things.
Amongst other things.
Right. 12 seconds, Paul. Tell us something about Neptune, starting now.
I was having a conversation with Sir Patrick Moore once. He appeared on a television programme that I was on, and I asked him his idea of what Neptune would be like. And he said to me, and I never forget what he's actually like.
Ross, you'll never forget it, will you? Ross, you've got in with half a second to go. What was it? It hasn't won you any friends, but what's your challenge?
He said.
He said, hesitation, whatever you like.
I didn't say said twice.
All right, then he.
What's that?
And you hesitated as well.
I hesitate as well. I don't know what to say because I normally accept the first
Can
challenge
you hear
that
what
you
Patrick
give.
Moore said? I'm a gog.
I'm going to hear it in a minute.
What, in half a second?
In half a second. Oh, come on. Ross.
Patrick Moore speaks very quickly. I can get it in half a second.
Well, hear it afterwards. Half a second from you, Ross, on Neptune, starting now. and Paul challenge.
Well, there was a definite hesitation there.
Yeah. I don't think so. I won't charge anything for that and say that you were speaking as the whistle went, Ross. Ross gets the extra point for speaking as the whistle went. And Ross, it's your turn to begin. Cheek. Tell us something about cheek in this game, starting now.
Cheek is very important when pulling a Mooney from a moving car. It is essentially the most important ingredient when...
Kit challenged.
So two importance.
Yes, it was. So, Kit, you got him on the important and you have the subject and 53 seconds... Cheek, starting now.
I once came across a recipe for pig's cheek, which involved cleaving the skull of the animal, scooping out the brains, burying it in saltpeter and bay for 29 days, turning it regularly, and then smoking it for a further week. Very odd, it didn't catch on at all in this country. But it would something I would...
Paul challenge.
The hesitation.
Well, it was sort of rubbish, wasn't it? So
yes, but we can't start challenging on that. These buzzers can only last so much.
Right. So, yes, anyway, Paul, correct challenge, and you have cheek, and you have 35 seconds starting now.
Cheek, or nerve, as it's sometimes called, is quite an attractive quality, I think, in people. Where would we be today if Jeff Hurst hadn't have had the cheek to claim that goal that came off the crossbar? If you look at that match, there's no way the football went over the line, and yet somehow we were given the goals that won the match. Now, I think perhaps the marvellous Winston Churchill showed enormous amounts of cheek when he first came to the position of being Prime Minister, because up to that point he'd been a bit of the black sheep of English politics. The Conservatives didn't like him very much. In fact, he'd been a Liberal at some point.
So, Paul Merton, speaking as the whistle went, gained an extra point and has moved forward ahead of Ross Noble, Kit Hesketh-Harvey and Steve Frost in that order. And, Paul, it's actually your turn to begin, and we're moving into the final round. Paul begins it. The life of Riley, starting now.
Well, it's a miserable life. He's an alcoholic. He lives in a workman's hut in Balham. Nobody wants the life of Riley, least of all Riley. He used to be a very successful quiz show host, one of the best. Just a Minute was a show that he always enjoyed performing on. In fact, you might know him better under the name of Nicholas Parsons. I'm, of course, now talking about sometime in the future, around about March 2003. I don't know who Riley was originally.
Ross challenged.
Well, he was living in Balham before.
Yeah, but I don't know who he was originally. That's where he is now. I don't know what he was originally.
He changed his identity to live in Balham.
I think you're technically an incorrect challenge, but 31 seconds, Paul, the life of Riley starting now.
Drink flowed like wine, which is, funnily enough, is a drink.
So, Kit, your challenge.
Repetition of drink.
That's right,
yes.
Right. You have the subject, The Life of Riley. 27 seconds available starting now.
Bridget Riley, the painter, I think she must be about 70 now. She painted black and white things that give you epilepsy or mild headaches when you stare at them. I think her life involved started...
Steve Ross challenge.
Repetition of think.
Yeah, sorry.
Yes, who did?
Yeah,
correct challenge. Well, listen, Steve, you've got him before the end. 18 seconds, The Life of Riley starting now.
Sitting on a beach, drinking beer, surrounded by beautiful women with lots of gold falling off your lap, into the dogs that bay beneath your knees, looking at...
Paul Challenge.
Where is this gold? This gold is falling into your lap from where? Into the mouths of dogs. Well, it's just right. It's deviation. Deviation, life as we know it.
Life as we know it, but that is a pure fantasy. But, I mean, can you challenge for fantasy?
Well, where's this gold coming from? It's dropping into your lap.
Well, if you hadn't interrupted, I would have told you.
Okay.
I must be fair to Steve. I mean, this could be that he did have all this gold, and he did. As the dog's baying around him, that's what got me.
It's a worry, isn't it?
That's a real worry, because, I mean, if he's like that, and that is not a really happy picture, whereas the rest was a very exotic picture. But I think I give you the benefit of the doubt, because I don't think you were deviating within the rules of just a minute, and you have 8 seconds to continue on the life of Riley, starting now.
If I won the lottery, the first thing I would go out and do...
poor challenge.
Well, deviation. He said he was going to tell us how this gold landed in fact. If he was given the chance.
Maybe he won the lottery.
He's been given the chance and now he's starting talking about the lottery.
It was the lottery. It was just pouring it down into his lap.
Look, in the rules of just a minute, you can start off on something and leave it and carry on and talk about something else. It's not that you have to continue on the same theme throughout. You have gone off in different directions all the time when you're talking about that. So, Steve, you're doing well. You're catching up like mad.
I know a lot about the life of Riley.
Right. You have, but I don't know whether you're going to get enough points in the last 4 seconds. But have a go. Life of Riley starting now.
Not...
Paul, Tom.
How many points does he need?
More than you can give him in 4 seconds. Life of Riley is still with you, and another point, of course. 3 seconds starting now.
Getting 3 points on just a minute surely is the ultimate life of...
Yeah! So we have... No more time to play just a minute. Let me give you the final situation. But as I say, basically, I mean, they're all winners in this show because it's the contribution that matters. But you're interested, if you're interested in the points, Steve Frost, who was trailing nowhere a while ago, in that last round, leapt forward. He was still in fourth place, but he was... well, actually, no, he leapt forward into third place alongside Kit Hesketh-Harvey. But in second place, only a few points ahead was Ross Noble, but quite a considerable number of points ahead was Paul Merton. So we say, Paul, in this particular game, you are the winner. It only remains for me to say thank you to our 4 delightful players of the game, Paul Merton, Kit Hesketh-Harvey, Ross Noble and Steve Frost. I thank Claire Bartlett for helping with the score and blowing her whistle so delicately. And also we thank our producer, Claire Jones, for the way she directs and produces the show. And we are indebted to Ian Messiter, who created this particular idea. And we are most grateful to this lovely Yorkshire audience here at the Picture Playhouse Theatre in Beverley, who've cheered us on our way. From the audience, from me, Nicholas Parsons, and our panel, goodbye till we tune in and play just a minute.